Ukraine security issue.
Heavy fighting continues in Ukraine as Russia's unprovoked invasion entered its 7th month with 25 Ukrainians dead and more than 30 injured in the Dnipropetrovsk region in the village of Chaplina. As a result of shelling of the residential sector and a railway station, 25 people died, two of them children. An 11-year-old boy died under the rubble of a house. Another 6-year-old died in a car fire near the railway station. The remains of Smerch and S-300 missiles were found at the place, and the Russians struck a private house with an Iskander missile. In the Khmelnytsky region, a woman and two children were injured as a result of two Russian rocket attacks on critical infrastructure in the Shepetiv district. In total, on Independence Day, Russian troops shelled 58 settlements. 189 air raid sirens sounded across the country during 14 hours, the largest number since the beginning of Russia's full-scale invasion of Ukraine on February 24th. Russian shelling continued today. Sumy, Kharkiv, and Zaporizhia are again under artillery fire of the occupiers. Due to shelling by the Russian invaders, residents of most of the temporarily occupied territories of the Zaporizhia region were left without electricity and water. For the third day in a row, the quarter of Mariupol, on the territory of which the Philharmonic Hall is located, remains closed, where the previous day the occupiers demonstratively installed cages for the trial of prisoners of war. Petro Andrushenko, advisor to the mayor of Mariupol, said that the employees were ordered not to go to work. According to him, the date of the start of the trial remains unknown, but the combination of a number of factors indicates that the occupiers are planning to commit some kind of provocation there. In fact, the court itself and the time of its commencement are directly related to the front line, and the situation of how the final decision will be made regarding the annexation, in particular of parts of the Donetsk region and Mariupol. Therefore, all this is constantly being transferred. Today we can say that there is an announced date within the Gauleiter government. It is September the 15th. It seems like a command is supposed to enter the administrative borders of the Donetsk region by September 15th and then hold a pseudo-referendum, said Petro Andrushenko. In the temporarily occupied Mariupol, the occupiers continue to conduct a population census in all areas of the city, the main intelligence directorate of the Ministry of Defense of Ukraine reported. During the census, they are required to provide personal documents with registration. They also find out the whereabouts of the closest relatives. According to intelligence and informal conversations, members of the census groups admit that the majority of the surveyed population in occupied Mariupol refuses to participate in a possible pseudo-referendum. In addition, on the night of August 25th, the Ukrainian resistance forces blew up the headquarters of the Russian occupiers, where they were preparing for a pseudo-referendum and issuing Russian passports to Ukrainians in the village of Priazovske, Melitopol district. The Operational Command South reported that the Ukrainian armed forces carried out 4 airstrikes on the areas of concentration of manpower, weapons and equipment of the Russian army in the Kherson region. The Washington-based Institute for the Study of War reported on Thursday that the Ukrainian armed forces already managed to liberate a territory the size of Denmark, which is approximately 45,000 square kilometers, that were occupied by Russia. Instead, the Russian military temporarily took control of only 450 square kilometers over the past month. Military analysts believe that the statements of the Russian Defense Ministry about slowing down the offensive in Ukraine in order to save civilian lives are just an attempt to justify the lack of success in the war. US President Joe Biden has announced nearly $3 billion in new US military aid for Kyiv as Ukraine marked its Independence Day 6 months after Russia invaded the country. Prime Minister Denis Shmyhal said this is the first tranche of $4.5 billion that Ukraine received for direct budget support. According to Ukrainian Ambassador to the United States Oksana Markarova, this is the largest tranche of security assistance. In addition, Ukraine will receive a package of military aid worth almost $3 billion.
Це дуже потрібний зараз пакет допомоги, як і всі інші, тому що ми з нашими партнерами працюємо над трьома головними задачами.
This is a much needed relief package. We and our partners are working on three main tasks: to withstand this onslaught now, to win tomorrow, and to build a truly stable force that will allow us to protect our independence in the future. Therefore, all these packages are very important so that we can get some capabilities that will help us. We're very grateful. We do not stop there and hope that this record allocation, almost $3 billion in one package, is not the last package that we will receive from our partners, said Оксана Маркарова. A host of top tennis stars joined a charity match to benefit humanitarian efforts in Ukraine on Wednesday night, with over $1.2 million being raised. The event took place on the Independence Day of Ukraine and the half-year anniversary of the Russian invasion of Ukraine at a charity tennis event in New York. Representatives of world tennis played on the court. Iga Swiatek, Rafael Nadal, Corey Goff, Matteo Berrettini, Maria Sakkari, Stefanos Tsitsipas, Jessica Pegula and others. In front of the audience, 12-year-old Ustin Chorny performed the national anthem of Ukraine. Actions to support awareness about the war in Ukraine will continue at the US Open and in the future. The Ukrainian choir Dumka from New York will be invited to the opening of the competition on August 29th.